Sefer Pnei Menachem. Pnei Menachem was the Ger Rebbe who lived, he died 12 years ago. He's the grandson of the Sfasemes. The Sfasemes had a grandfather named the Chedusha HaRim, who was the brother-in-law of the famous Kutzker Rebbe. And the Chedusha HaRim had 13 children who all died in his lifetime. Can you imagine? 13 children, and he still believed in God, but they all died in his lifetime. And then his grandson, the Sfasemes, one of his sons lived long enough to have a son, and then he raised his grandson, and then when his grandson turned 19, his grandfather died. So the Hasidim, tens of thousands of Hasidim, this is back in the mid-1800s, they wanted him to be Rebbe. Can you imagine a 19-year-old guy, that's the madrega he was on, being the leader of tens of thousands of people, 19 years old. But he said, no, too young, I'm just trying to bet, you know what I mean? And then 4 years later, they send them to another Rebbe named the Alexander Rebbe, who was a Rebbe in Poland. And then after 4 years, the Alexander Rebbe died, and the Hasidim said, no, we want you. So this time he couldn't say no. And they pressured him, and he was Rebbe from age 23 until age 59. So that's the Sfasemes. That's, I think, my favorite book ever. After, obviously, the Tanakh and the Gemara. He started when he was 20, but you see, when he was writing, he was 23. He was an angel of 23. So his son was the Imre Emes, who died in 1948. He escaped through Italy in World War II. He made it through. And then when he died, his first son became the Rebbe in 48. And then when he died, that's the Beis Yisrael. He died in 77. Then his second son, who they used to call the Leif Simcha, became Rebbe. And then when he died, the Pnei Menachem became Rebbe. Just to show you how much I like them, I actually wanted to name my son. When my son was born, we had ready, you know, didn't have anyone to name after, so I wanted to name him after the Sfasemes. But for whatever reason, my wife didn't like Yehudari Leib, so we went after the Imre Emes. So one of my sons, Avraham Mordechai, after the Imre Emes. And then my other son was born, so I wanted to name Simcha Bunim, because Leib Simcha and Simcha Bunim Yipshischa, my wife didn't want the Bunim. So we can name just Simcha. And then if God gives me more children, so I'm still going to shoot for Yehudari Leib. I still like Yehudari Leib. But we'll see what God gives me. In any event, so this is a Pnei Menachem. I can also name my son Pinchas Menachem. But we'll see what God gives me. And if you guys want to name your children after me, I hope you don't, because I hope I'm alive when you have children. And this is what he said in the year 1993, Tavshin and Gimel, in Shalosh Shittos. And we're going to learn it together, because it's more delicious than delicious. Gam ki elech begeitz ha-mavis lo ira raki atayimadi. Where's this pasuk from? Tehillim, that's what you sing in Shal Shittos. So it says, Gam Kelech Begate Samavis Lo Yeraki Atayimadi, even though I walk in the shadow of death. I walk in the valley of the shadow of death. Lo Yerara, I won't fear evil, Ki Atayimadi, because you're with me. David HaMelech, this is on the Parsha, by the way, which you figured out by error. David HaMelech, Bikesh Al Kol HaGolios. So this is David HaMelech. Tehillim is the book that the Jewish people learn and read throughout all the generations. This is all like our personal prayer book. Kishizochem es Hashem Yisbarach ki atah imadi yecholam lahavir lavor b'chol adoros b'chol amitzarim. David HaMelech was asking, lo yira ra, that if we remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki atah imadi, I won't fear evil. Why? Ki atah imadi, because you're with me. In other words, if you remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the way you get through everything. That's the Jewish secret for survival. Everybody has different secrets for survival. So the Jewish secret for survival is never forgetting God. No matter how bad things are, you know that God is with you. There's a beautiful poem that they sell in what's it called, stores. You guys really came to learn today. You guys are awesome. You're awesome. They sell in like hotel lobbies. How you doing, my friend? I like this casual wear. So they sell in hotel. In souvenir stores. That there was a guy once, and he was walking on the. His life was like walking on the beach. That was like this picture of his life. That there are two sets of footprints. His footprints and God's footprints. And then he said, God, how come during those periods of my life, when things were rough, there were only one set of footprints, how come you left me alone? So what did God answer? Those were my footprints. When things were rough, I was the one carrying you. It wasn't that there was only one, because it was just you. During those rough periods, those were my footprints. So that's what the secret is. Lo yira ra ki atah imadi, you're with me. And therefore I have nothing to fear. When Natan Sharansky was in solitary confinement for how many years? In Russia. When he was a refusnik, when they used to have Jews. You don't remember this, but in the 1970s, early 1980s, they had a lot of Jews, maybe even later 1980s. I remember when they, yeah, until the mid-80s. There were a lot of Jews who weren't allowed to leave Russia, and they were held in Soviet prisons, and they were denied passports and denied the right to leave, etc. So we used to always have these demonstrations in Manhattan to help free them, which gave a lot of guys the opportunity to socialize with girls. In any event, but the Kavanah was, of course, L'shem Shemayim, because he wanted to free the Russian no refuseniks, and not everybody was there to socialize. I certainly wasn't there, because no girls really wanted to speak to me. In any event, so Anatoly Sharansky was in Soviet, was in solitary confinement for how long? 9 years. 9 years. 9 years. How did he stay sane? He said two things. Number one, he played chess with the guy next door. They would have a chessboard in their brain, and they would knock, and they worked out a system that they could play chess against each other. And that's the number. You can go meet him today. He's still alive today. You can ask him. He wrote a book. And the other way he stayed alive was he had a little pocket Tehillim. So he wasn't, you know, he doesn't look like the most religious guy in the world necessarily, but that's what kept him alive. The Rosh Yeshiva of Gush Etzion, who died a few months ago, Rav Amital, he said, how did he get through the Holocaust? He had a little copy of Rav Kook's writings. A little book. And he said he guarded that book throughout the whole war, and that's what was mechazik him through. So when a person has God, you can get through everything. Lo ira ra, ki atay madeh, you're with me. And I think when Sharansky wrote his book, he called it Lo ira ra. I'm not going to fear evil. If you know God is with you, you have absolutely nothing to be afraid of. If you don't know God's with you, that's when Rav Soloveitchik, a psychologist, said to him, he said, it's not healthy being Jewish. It's not healthy on Yom Kippur, you're davening. Uvechein tein pachtucha Hashem Elokeinu. God, make us fear you. And we should have all of your ucha kol ma'asim. Everybody should be afraid of you. What's all this fear? It's like paranoia. It's not healthy. It's pathological fear. So he said, listen, I'm not a psychoanalyst, but I can tell you one thing. That in this world, there's a lot to be afraid of. There's cancer in many, many different forms. There's AIDS. There's, you know, there's the mumps. There's the swine disease. There's mad cow disease. You go to the disease booklets. Anyone here a father? Anyone here a father? We hope not. Anyone here has a father who, I mean, I hope I am, but I hope you are soon. It's a Shem. Called Mamish. Until 20. You should get married when you're 19. And that's it. It says in the Gemara, you should get married by the time you're 20. Unless you don't get married by the time you're 20. So, it says that, wouldn't it be great if like Judaism were like an optional religion? Yeah. You can keep Shabbos, or you can not keep Shabbos, and either way, everything will be fine. You'll still get a great reward. I don't think that would be fun. Then we would just do whatever we want. It wouldn't feel good. It's not nice to feel good. It's not nice to do whatever you want. It's good to have restraints. In any event, so, anyone's father's a doctor, you have books of diseases, and they just go on and on and on and on, just another page, and they get thicker and thicker as the years go on. And physical diseases, your father's psychologist or psychiatrist, mental illnesses, this book DSM, with all the mental illnesses, it's like 275 million pages. It just keeps going on and on and on. There's so many mental illnesses. I don't open the book. Because I know if I open it up, I'm going to find myself in there. There's no doubt about that. I'm going to find myself. I do this, I do that, and I walk down the street and I sing. So I'm just going to, I walk down the street. What mental illness do I have? I have this and I have that. I don't want to know. And as long as they don't hospitalize me, I'm happy. So there's so many diseases you can get, mental, physical. You can lose all your money. You can lose all your money in one day. In one day, you can lose all your money. What happened to one person I know? All of his money invested. All of his money in one day, gone. Not one person I know, a lot of people I know. Why? Because somebody made off with his money. Yeah? Yeah? One day, it's all gone, destitute. From having to not having. Boom! Boom! Right? They used to have Warner Wolf, he used to channel the news. He would be a sport, he was like the sports guy. So, you know, in the fourth inning, Missouri got up. Boom! And that's all a home run. Boom can mean a home run. Boom can mean you're dead. Boom can mean you lose all your money. Boom can have a lot of different meanings. So, but he said, there's so much to fear in this world, but if you have God, you don't have to fear anything. Lo yira ki atay madeh. All you have to fear is God. There's a famous story of Lubavitch Rebbe who was in jail. He was in a Soviet prison. Something about Soviets in prisons today. I said, I always tell the boys, that's what gets me to learn. You know what gets me to learn? That gets me to learn. First of all, if I'm an Am Aretz, I'm a behemoth. That's the way. That's the way Chazal looked at it. If I'm an Am, I don't want to feel like I'm a behemoth. But besides that, the other reason I learned. There's other few reasons that I learned. But there was once a boy in yeshiva who brought over his kala, and she related after he got engaged. She related that her grandfather was in Russia, and there was a rule you weren't allowed to learn Gemara. So he learned anyway, and they caught him. So they sent him to Siberia for 10. Not 10 like in hockey, you know, in the penalty box for 10. And that you can get out if there's a fight. You know what I mean? We're talking about, he was there. And then when he got out of Siberia, he came back home, what do you think he did? He left off right where he's, you know, he continued where he left off. They caught him again, they sent him right back for more. Why? Because he wanted to learn Gemara. That makes it reminds me of, I know people who would not learn, they don't need to be threatened with Siberia not to learn. They do it just for free. You know what I mean? Without any, they don't need any such incentives. They just learn, not learn for free. But that's it. So when you believe in, that's the Gemara. I'll go find, where were we? We were with God. Oh, so this person was Soviet prison. And I forgot why, but it was something about being with God and not fearing. Where was that? Lubavitcher Rebbe. So the Russian guy puts a gun to his head. And the Rebbe says to him, listen, you have many gods, and you have one world, so you're afraid of a gun. But me, I have only one god, and I have two worlds, I'm not afraid of your gun. I'm not afraid of your gun. Lo yirara, the Briska Rav said, Rav Yosef Soloveitchik, based on Reb Chaim Volozhiner and the Nefesh HaChaim, he says, whenever you think Eino Mavada, they can't touch you. They can't touch you. Eino Mavada is nothing else other than God. And when you see me, when I'm not in a singing mood, when I'm in a singing mood, which is usually when I'm awake, I walk down the street, and I literally walk down the street saying, Eino Mavada. And I haven't gotten arrested yet. Nothing's happened. So I do it. People look at me. Said, look at me. But Eino Mavada, that's what I want to think when I'm walking down the street. The other day I was walking down Rehov King George. I was telling the guys yesterday. And I wasn't looking where I was going because I was looking down. It's King George. It's 130 degrees. Nebuchadnezzar, a lot of poor women in Yerushalayim can't afford clothing. So I can't pay for all of their clothing. I'm not, walking around with wads of bills in my pocket. Even though yesterday I happened to have been walking around with wads of bills in my pocket, but they're not there anymore. In any event, so anyway, I almost walked into a guy. So the guy says, look where you're going. Look where you're going. He was like annoyed with me. I don't want to look where I'm going, but thank you. In any event, so when you remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you know you have one world, two worlds and one God, there is absolutely nothing to be afraid of. Ki ata imadi. Ata is Lashon Nocheach. Lo yirara, right? We start saying Mizmor LaDavid and speaking directly to Hashem. Lo yirara ki ata imadi. Right? Gam Hashem roi lo echzar. First we start in the third person. I was once in a class. I had to take a course once to get certified for something. So I was bored out of my begugins. So I started writing my own commentary on chapter 23 of Tehillim. So I came up with an amazing chap. A chap is an understanding. It's a Spanish word that I learned when I was taking the subway going up to MTA in high school. In any event, and one of my friends knows how to say, keep your hands off the door. Where's the boy? Where's a Victor? A Victor knows. Whenever I need to know a Spanish word, a Victor tells me. So is a Victor here? I figured it comes to the chuk, so we can do our Spanish tonight. In any event, so I started writing my own commentary in the 23rd chapter. I noticed, it says, Mizmor David, Hashem roi lo asor benos desha yarbit seini. When things are going well, it says that God will put me in the nos desha. Al mei menuchos hina aleini. Right? When things are good, we speak about God in the third person. But gam ki elech begates al mavis, when I'm walking the shadow of death, lo yirara ki ataymedi. Then we start talking directly to God. Not as if we're talking about God, as we do when things are well. We talk to God, because that's when you need Him the most. When things are rough, you say, Ataymadi, that's you. That's you. Yesterday something happened in my family, something really horrible, really horrible. And I just keep on, spent the last 20 hours since I heard, just trying to remind myself, Ki Ataymadi, just you. It's you. And then Eino Mavada, the Briska Rav said, you think Eino Mavada, nobody can touch you. So he went through this, he had to get through Warsaw to escape in 1940. And when he said he walked right through Nazis, right through Nazi guards. Yeah? And all he thought to himself was, Ein od Movado. Right? When I want to get through the checkpoint over here at the Kotel, I just take out my staff card from the Tivarie. I don't have to think Ein od Movado. But I can also think Ein od Movado to also get me through. He said, there's nothing else than God. That's Kiyat Taimati. Yechol Mavu, Chodos, Chon, Itzon, Isa, B'Maral. Now we're in the fourth line, on page Pei, which is the only page you have. That's good. If I only photocopied one page, you were thinking, oh, this is going to be a short class, but you don't know that every line is 15 minutes. It's like, my mother would be, boy, he's coming for dinner. Mama, we're watching the game. There's only 18 seconds left. So the first time my mother heard that, she probably thought 18 seconds was 18 seconds. The second time my mother heard that was, but then she learned that 18 seconds can, in basketball, right, can be anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes, right? Because there's another time now. And then, it's commercial. David HaMelech had a rough time. Yehuda HaMelech, Yehuda had a rough time. Yehuda was David's, right, forebear. So they had some difficult nisyonos in Ruchnias. And Gashmius, but they should call it Dvarim Agadol Chayev and Lavo the Marvel Sinois Habivin, Dorchti Kunalin. Big things have to go through the gutter. Big things in life have to go through the gutter. That's what we were talking about last night in Reb Sadok's class with Ariel, Natan, and Kivi, the men who were there willingly. and then the six prisoners who were there by force of a certain authority, but the willing guys were there. So we learn how in Judaism everything has to start with darkness. Ki eshe b'choshech Hashem orli, because I sat in the darkness, God was my light. Vayhi erev, vayhi boker. First, there has to be darkness. There has to be difficulties. There has to be rough times. Like there's, what was that once saw an episode on TV and one of the TV shows, I'd rather not say the name, and Cheers. So anyway, somebody was reading out, I think it was Dickens. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the happiest of times, it was the saddest of times. It was so the guy was listening to the person reading, he's like, that Dickens couldn't make up his mind, could he? You know, I don't even know if it was Dickens, but that's what I remember. He couldn't make up, it was the best of times and it was the worst. Which one was it? In any event, so the first you have to go through the worst of times. First things have to get rough. You have to go through the gutter. You have to go through all the gutter. And then you get to what's good. So if anybody in life wants smooth sailing, every day is going to be a picnic in the park with a pretty girl, and 75 degrees, and a blue sky, and good food to eat, and you have credit cards and money in your wallet, and you're feeling good, and you're on top of the world, and you have shas in your pocket. Because you're one of those shas pods, right? They have to. You can have shas in your pocket. So, what?
That was from A Tale of Two Cities, right?
It was a tale. It could be A Tale of Two Cities. I don't know. I don't usually read English books. Is that him?
Yeah,
great. I remember now when I used to read a lot more. Reading is a good thing. Gentlemen, in my day, we didn't have, in the dorms, computers. We didn't have DVDs. We didn't have anything. So guys who didn't want to learn used to sit in the dorms all day and read. So you read a Satoris. Now people sit in the dorms and do other things. Reading is a good thing. If you're ready not going to learn, it's good to read books. Good to read good books. In any event, so everything has to go. That's why David first had to have rough times, and that's why Yehuda had to have rough times. And if you go through the lives of all the tzaddikim, throughout all the generations, nobody had it easy. Why? Because to become great, you don't become great despite your hard times, you become great because of your hard times. Mepnesha called it, V'zeh shebikesh David, gam ki erech b'geit samavis lo yirara, even though I walk in the shadow of death, I will not fear. I gotta walk in the shadow of death. There has to be rough times. My son has to run after me and try to kill me and usurp my throne. He had a shalom and he had a donio. He had some rough times over there. You know, sometimes in my house, I'm not always 100% extremely thrilled with the way my kids are acting, b'chlal, or acting towards me. So I remind myself, they're not trying to kill me. that much respect, they don't hit me. That much respect they have. So Baruch Hashem, my kids respect me a lot. But I'm saying, you know, kids are kids sometimes. So you want them to be perfect kids. So in order to grow as a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us not to have kids necessarily who are perfect. Some people do have perfect kids. But like your parents, right? But that's the law. I have to walk in the shadow of death, and I won't fear evil. And from the Mice Yehuda, what's the Mice of Yehuda? And he's walking on the path. Yeah, and he sees a prostitute. She looks like a prostitute. And he goes with her. Yes, and they're together. And then afterwards, he finds out that his daughter-in-law had slept with a strange man. And he said, Hotsiua b'tisare, take her out and burn her. And then she sent him the signs that he had given her. Yes, that they'd been together. And then he said, whoa, you're right, my bad. So in the end, he did something which wasn't so gishmak, to sleep with who he thought was a prostitute. Yes, he was a little b'dam v'yered Yehuda me'esachot. He went down after they sold Yosef. He had this big yerida, this big downward spiral. And from that union of Yehuda and Tamar, who eventually was born? Mashiach. Mashiach. Is that good or bad? That's, by the way, what I say in this week's parasha, not me. But Pilei Plos. It says that in this week's parasha, parasha's Vayera. It's not Vayera, it's Vayera. Because it was my parasha. And I once went to my bar mitzvah teacher, and his father asked me, so what's your parasha? So I said, Vayera. And my teacher corrected me, no, Vayera. So I hope when I learned my parasha, I said Vayera and not Vayera. In any event, it says there that we learn how to daven from Avram Avinu. From which tefillah? From the tefillah on Sodom. From the tefillah on Sodom. Then when Avram Avinu daven that God shouldn't destroy stone, El HaMakom Asher Amad Sham, because I'll say from there we learn that we daven. So what happened to that tefillah? Avram Avinu davens for stone, and what does God do? He destroys it, right? So, what happened to Avram's tefillah? Was it answered or not answered? Not answered. So here you learn not only that you should daven, but if you daven, God's not going to answer you. Isn't that beautiful? You learn in the Gemara that daven, but He'll say no. Whatever you ask for, you want to have a nice wife, You better not daven, but because maybe you'll get it. But if you daven, you won't get it. That's what we learn from here. Yeah.
But Hashem says yes, there wasn't enough.
What?
I don't say that there's 50 tzaddikim, you would say that. Hashem says, if there was, I would, but there isn't.
Right. But there isn't.
He didn't answer it.
He didn't answer. Meaning, what did Avraham Avinu want? Ultimately, he wanted to save Sodom. If it would, he could have done it with just one person, he would have done it with one person. Avraham Avinu, you're making a very good point. But Avraham Avinu, the tefillah was that he wanted to save Sodom. And in the end, he didn't end up saving Sodom. So you can say that God also says yes to your prayers. Right? You ask for something, but he doesn't answer because of a technical reason. But in the end, you're not going to get it. So here you're saying it was a technical reason. But in the end, he didn't get it. And that could be, God can also get you on a technicality. So, you know, you don't have enough merits. So you ask for something, and just like there, they needed enough merits. He didn't have enough merits. So, what happened? So the Sodom is destroyed. Who runs away? Lot. And his daughters. And they end up in a cave. And they give their father to drink, and he gets drunk. And then what do? They're intimate with each other. And then a child is born from the union of each of his daughters. And from one of his daughters, he has a child named Amon and Moab. And who descends from Moab? Rus. And who descends from Rus? David. And who descends from David? Mashiach. So what came from Avram's tefillah? Mashiach. So what do you see from the Gemara? That if you daven, you're going to be answered just in ways that you'll never imagine. God, give me this girl. I want to marry this. She's the one for me. Maybe God will have her dump you, and you'll end up with something much better. Because God knows. We only see the externals. God knows who's right for you. So you'll daven, and you'll say, oh, God's going to say no. Yes? You're going to be all frustrated, and then you'll end up getting what you wanted in a much better way. You applied for a job, and they rejected you. And you ended up getting a much, much better job afterwards. So, you never know. That's Oro Shel Mashiach. There's no reason to apologize. I'm so glad that you're participating. Yes, I'm so glad you wear your tzitzis out of your shirt. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, half of David comes from Yeshua and the prostitute, and the other half comes from Yehuda
and Tamar. Yehuda and the prostitute.
And then the other half comes from the incest of Lot and his daughter.
No.
Oh, I thought.
Yeah. Moav. That's Mitzad his mother, right? And Mitzad his father, it's Yehuda, correct?
Right,
on his paternal side, from his father, it's Yehuda, and on his mother's side, it's.
So the moral that we're learning from the.
No, but that's from Rus. I don't know. They come together somehow.
Right,
forgive me for not figuring out the family. Yeah. So. Yeah. So the lesson we learn is.
That
Avram Davin, that Sodom should be saved.
Right.
But from the destruction of Sodom, what happened? The light of Mashiach was born.
What?
Mashiach came from that. Because from the union of Yehuda and Tamar, David was descended
right,
from Yehuda and Tamar. So you see that from what looks bad, Lot and his daughter. From Lot and his daughter, which came from Sodom, which looks like it wasn't so terrific, but in the end it was, because from there Mashiach was created. So you see, from the worst things, from the lowest, you can get the highest. Yes?
Why did Hashem want it to be done for this incest?
That's what we can't understand. That's what he said. Everything in this world, first it has to come through this way, through difficulties, through Yeridas, and then from there we have the biggest Aliyahs. Right? That's the world. The world is a world that you can only succeed if you first fail. That's it. Remember that. You can only succeed. It says, Ein adam omed al divrei Torah, elim kein nechshol ba. You only understand Torah unless you make a mistake. Just today, I was writing up ksuba for somebody. Ksuba is what you give your wife under the chuppah. So whatever, somebody lost their ksuba, so we were rewriting one. You write a new one when somebody loses the document. So we were writing one. So I had a question about how to spell a certain place in America. He got married in a place, and you have to spell it in Hebrew. So it's always confusing. You know, you can't misspell. You have to be very careful, and there are rules how to transliterate from English to Hebrew. So I called up a friend of mine in America who helps me out with these things. And, and he called a big Rav in Rav Greenblatt, who's a big Rav in America, was the expert in how to write gets and ksubas. So he got the correct spelling. And then before we parted, he said, and remember, shmon is without a vav. When you write a ksuba and you write eight, the date is eight, it's without a vav. Shin mem nun hey, and not shin mem vav. And why? Because once we were together and I was writing a ksuba, and then I write shin mem vav nun hey. And then we had to write a whole new one. So he remembered it because I made a mistake, and I also remembered it because I made a mistake. And let's say I hadn't made the mistake, so I wouldn't remember. Maybe I'd make the mistake the next time. But ain't at the moment I'll divrei Torah. When you really know Torah is when you first mess up, and the same thing applies in Ruchnius and everything in life. You have to. You learn most from your mistakes. So when you make a mistake, say Baruch Hashem, I made a mistake, and now I'm a much smarter person. And then it says something amazing. Hashem yimloch. It says ki lo yidach mimenu nidach. These five words are the most popular words in all of Hasidic literature. Talking about thousands of books, kilo yidach mimenu nidach, which means that nobody is pushed away. Nobody is pushed away. The biggest slime, the biggest sleaze balls. Nobody is pushed away from God. Everybody has hope. Everybody has hope. That includes me, and it includes you, and it includes people who are so far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kilo yidach mimenu nidach. Nobody is going to be pushed away, and that is the true kingdom of God. Hashem yimloch le'olam v'ed. God is going to be king over everybody. Because everybody has a chance. And of course, Yimloch, if you take the first letters of Yimloch, the letters of Yimloch, Yud, God will rule. Yud, and then a Mem, and then a Lam, and then a Ches. That's the letters, Kilo Yidach Mimenu. Right? Yimloch. Nobody will be pushed away. So Yimloch is the letters, Kilo Yidach Mimenu. Nobody's pushed away. That's what they do in Hasidic Sfarim. They try to find all these allusions in the letters. So, that's for everybody, no matter how low you are. Good. It says that Abraham was sitting on the tent at the Abraham was sitting at the opening of the tent in the heat of the day. Itava Medrash, it says in Midrashic literature, Avraham Avinu Yoshev al Pesach Gehenim. What does it mean, Pesach HaOel? He's sitting at the entrance, not literally to the tent, also to the tent, but symbolically to the entrance of Gehenim. What, where do you see Gehenim in the Pasuk? Kechom Hayom, the heat of the day. Where does it get hot in Gehenim? So Avram is sitting on the entrance to Gehenim. And what's he doing? If you have a bris milah, Avram doesn't let you in. He says, sorry, no entrance allowed. You have a bris. Isn't that cool? Kechom Hayom, in the heat of the day, l'kishiyavo so yom. It says in the Navi that at the end of days there's going to be a very boiling hot day, and the Rishayim are going to be burned. They'll all burn, and the Tzaddikim, the sun, is going to be a like it's going to heal them. So the same light which the Baalei Musar say, that light can either it can burn you, the sun fire, and it can also illuminate for you, right? So the illumination is going to be for the tzaddikim. It's going to be their reward because they're going to see God. They're going to have true illumination, true connection. And the Rishayim from this light of God are going to be burned because they're not going to be able to take it because of the evil of their ways. Right? It's like when you did something wrong and then you see how wrong you were and you feel so terribly guilty. It's like burning. What do they call it? Burning regret. Right? That's what's going to burn them. That horrible feeling they have. So Avraham Avinu, so that's the Kechom Hayom. It's going to be that really hot day. And Avraham Avinu is going to save everybody who has a bris milah. Hainu shayidei amilah ein ish Yisrael nofel b'gehenim. What saves a person? You want to know in this world, what saves you from Gehenim? The answer is a bris milah. Like the Rambam says in the Mor Nevuchim, that why do we circumcise? Because there's less pleasure when you have relations without a foreskin than with a foreskin. And so the idea behind bris milah is to remove taiva. L'hasira taiva, to remove the physical desires. Obviously it doesn't fully remove it, but which we don't want, but to a certain extent. Notice the bris milah always symbolizes, that's why every Jew has to have a bris milah. Because the most important thing, and this is the foundation of all, this is spoken about in all the Sfarim, all the Kabbalah Sfarim, and the Hasidish Sfarim, I don't know all of them, because I haven't read all of them, but in many of them, and that is that a person has to be shomer bris. A person's careful about their bris, a person's careful about what he sees, and about what he says, and about what he thinks, and all of these, everything related to one's sexual desires, if he's careful, he's safe from Gehenim. If he's not careful, that's the worst Gehenim. It happens to be that a person who's sexually promiscuous has Gehenim in this world as well. And that's been proven by studies and literature that they've done, that people who are sexually promiscuous are just, they're unhappy people. They're just empty inside. Just today, my wife was reading a book on why adolescents rebel. So she read me a line. She said that teenagers very often substitute pleasure for happiness. They're feeling so empty inside. They're unhappy. So what do? They go after pleasure. But the pleasure doesn't give them happiness. It just gives them pleasure. So nobody's denying that girls are pleasurable. Yeah, I mean, also it depends, you know. Some girls are nicer to you and some girls are less nice to you. But if you have a girl, you know, you have, there is physical pleasure in the world to be gained. Yes? Nobody's denying that. Nobody's denying that it's pleasurable to, you know, to sleep till 11. Right? Ah, you know, you slept, you know, it's nice and it's relaxing. And it's pleasurable to, you know, drive. You want to go to the beach on Shabbos. So you go to the beach you shouldn't go to and you drive. So that they can all be, but they're not going to give you happiness. What gives a person happiness? Happiness is something that comes from a deep relationship. From a deep, lasting relationship, that's what gives you happiness. Somebody wrote a book about how to be happy. I was told I didn't read the book. So, he said it's the three F's. The three F's bring happiness. Faith.
Family.
Fortune. And?
Friendship. Fortune.
For bringing.
Faith. Family. And? Now, I don't remember what the third one was, but I try to be Makai all three. I think it was friends. But it doesn't matter. What matters to us is that when a person has good, lasting relationships, that's what gives him happiness. And when a person's not Shomer Bris, he doesn't have a relationship with anybody. You know who he has a relationship with? Himself. That's the only person he has a relationship with. So, and even when he's with somebody else, it's also about himself. And then when he walks down the street and he looks at a pretty girl, so who's that about her? He doesn't care about her. All he cares about is himself. Oh, is she going to give me pleasure when I look at her? Right? That's like using her. Right? You just want to get your pleasure. So you look at her. That's what, I mean, all movies and all these, you know, novels and everything. It's just about taking a person and then using, well, books are usually a fiction, but they're real people on the movie screen. And they're there so that you can get pleasure by looking at her and fantasizing about her. And that's why almost every movie has, you know, some sexual theme to it. Because that's what people are interested in. And it's not about, it's all about the person himself. And that doesn't bring a person happiness ever, ever. I've never read about the sleaziest guy, the lowest guy that I've ever read about, doesn't get pleasure from. I once read about the guy who I think was the lowest I've ever read about in my life. And he said at the end of his life that he wishes that he had just married a woman and had a solid family life. That's his regret. That's his regret after he had everything he wanted. So we have to be Shomer Bris. So Shomer Bris means just you have to be careful. There's a screen. They have all these screens today. And in front of the screens they show pictures. You can't look at, you look at the picture, you're destroying not only your neshama spiritually, but you're also destroying yourself emotionally. So here it's talking about spiritually. That if you're careful, then you don't go to Gehenna, right? And if you're not careful, then the opposite. And that's why today, Baruch Hashem, there's been hisorus that people go to mikvah a lot. So the mikvah is what purifies you. That's what purifies you in these areas. A person's nichshel, so he goes in and he dunks and he comes out a new man. Right? Mikvah comes from tikvah. Mikvah means hope. Come out, now you have hope, now you can reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says in the olden days that after one had a seminal emission, he wasn't allowed to learn or daven until he went to mikvah. Until he went, now you're distant from God. Now you go in, now even today one should do it. You go in, come out, and now you can daven again and you can learn again. So that's being Shomer HaBris. It says in the Pasuk, right, we know Yosef is called Tzadik. Right, Yosef's Midah was Tzadik. And the Pasuk says, Tzadik Yisod Olam. So Yosef's Midah was that when Eishes Potiphar was trying to seduce him, what didn't he do? He didn't succumb. He didn't succumb to her passes. So that's the meat of tzaddik. The meat of tzaddik is one who's careful in these areas. And the pasuk says that it's called in Kabbalah Yisod. Tzaddik Yisod Olam. That the foundation of the world is this tzaddik who's careful about Yisod. So this is something that everybody's dealing with. And if anyone wants to talk about it privately, you can also talk about it privately with me or with other rabbeim. But this is something that one has to work on the most. Because for all the Torah and everything we're doing, if you want God, there's no way to get close to God if you're not careful in these areas. That is the mechitza between you and God. You want God and you're not careful? Doesn't work. You want to learn Torah. Sometimes we have Shabbos and Yeshiva and guys have such an aliyah and they're learning and they're davening and they're singing and they're feeling close, they're feeling connected. And then Saturday night they're in Malcha with all the sleaze. So you lose it. I don't even know. They have a movie theater still in Malcha? 20 years ago they used to have. So a person sees, doesn't even at the movie theater, it doesn't matter. Just what you see in the Malcha Mall or on Amek, you go there, and with all that, the atmosphere there, and the Kalas Rosh, and the Lake Sunnis, and all that's going on, you lose it all. So be very, 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 very careful. Next, we're going to skip, I don't know if we're going to get to all four, so we'll just skip to the fourth one. Issa b'Gemara. It says in the Gemara, V'nasa m'cha rachamim v'richamecha. I will give you mercy and you will be merciful. Says in the Gemara, We're in the second column now. If you're a merciful person, you come from Avram Avinu. If you're not a compassionate person, then you have to check and see, is this person really Jewish? If a person's cool, you have to check and see, is this person really Jewish? Because that's the hallmark of a Jew, is the midah of rachmanis, of compassion. That's why you ask a Jew, what would you rather be? What would you rather be? Would you rather be the Nazi with the bayonet smashing in the head, or the one being smashed in the head? What would you rather be? In a second, I'd rather be the one smashed in the head. In a second. In a second, I'd rather die and have my whole family incinerated rather than kill somebody else. Of course. Kill another human being. But the Nazis and many other people throughout history have thought otherwise. So the midah of a Jewish person is rachmanis. Now sometimes, unfortunately, we get desensitized and we become a little uncompassionate. But our goal is to cultivate that sense of natural compassion that the Jew has. Davar zeh yapashut lechazal shekol mi sheinos, it says the Mahalik of Menachem, anyone who's not merachem al abrios biyadua sheino mizal shalad mavina, you're from the Arab Rav and you had in the Holocaust, you had people who gave away their parents to the Nazis, and you had people who did the cruelest things. You had in communist Russia also, people were telling their parents, you know, my mother's lighting Shabbos candles, my father's wearing tefillin, and he says such people, chances are they come from the Arab Rav. Yes? Either they're the mixed multitude, or mixed into these people. Either they're literally from the world of the mixed multitude, or they're their spiritual descendants. I once read a book, somebody wanted to say that all these self-hating Jews, you know, not only self-hating Jews, but Jews, you know, were so cruel to other Jews. He said probably throughout history there were a lot of Jewish women who were raped by Kazakhs and things like that. So they probably descended from this union. They have that cruelty in their blood, in their veins. So that's the midah of Avram Avinu. The midah of Avram Avinu, and the more you cultivate that, the more you connect to your true self. Your true self is Zal Shal Avram Avinu, which means a merciful person. Ki Avram Avinu et bia b'chol Zal Lachmanus. Right? Somebody wants to say he's a Jew. Define a Jew. I was once at a bar mitzvah. He says in modern Hebrew, you want to say a macho man? You know how to say it? Gever. Who said that? Natan. Natan's a gever. What's Gever? Gever is a macho man. Roshei Tevos, Gomlei Chasadim, Vaishanim, Rachmanim. It says in the Gemara there are three traits of the Jews. They're Gomlei Chasadim, they do a lot of chesed. You go to any hospital, any Jewish area, you'll always see there'll be Satmar Chasidim there, giving out food, you know, to the visitors, to the patients, taking care. There are all these chesed organizations, right? The Jews are big Gomlei Chasadim. Big. You open up the Jerusalem phone book, and you'll see over 1,000 gemachs, free loan funds for everything, for furniture, for pacifiers, for milk, you know, baby formula, for sidurim, for, you know, low chairs, for aveilim, money, anything you want, they have gemachs. Why? Because Jews are gomlei chasadim. Next is baishanim. What's baishanim? Bashful. Bashful, we don't go out there, we don't try to show ourselves off. That's Baishanim, and the last one is Rachmanim. That's the Gever, Gimel Beis Reish. So those are the three midas of Avram Avinu. So you want to see if somebody's a real Jew, he has to have these three traits. If he doesn't, then look into his lineage. Maybe yes, maybe no. Avram Avinu ayakura rachamim. Oh, that's Minos al-Rachamim. Avram Avinu ayakura rachamim. Hayo rachamim afilu al-stom. Think about Avram Avinu. Think about Avram Avinu. What was his biggest midah? What was his? What did he excel in? Right? We know all the others had midas. What midas did he excel in? Chesed. Titein emes liyakov. Chesed lavram. So let's say your whole life is chesed. Who do you hate the most?
No.
People who hate chesed. People who aren't doing chesed, you can't stand them, because your whole life is chesed. So you can't stand people who don't do chesed. When you devote your life to a certain ideal, and you see other people whose lives are being lived in diametrical opposition to that ideal, you can't stand these people, right? Avram Avinu was pure, you know, he had a wife, and he was a family man, right? And Stone, we know that they had other ideas. So, if somebody would tell me, right now, you know, there's going to be an earthquake in a certain place, whatever, where there are people who are, sexually deviant, or morally deviant, or decadent, so what would I say? maybe I would say, okay, they deserve it. They deserve it. That's what God does. That's their punishment for being so wicked. So here you have people who are the exact opposites of Avram Avinu, and he davens for them. So he has Rachmanis even on the Rishayim. Even on the Rishayim, like there, if you ever read A Tzaddik in Our Time by Rabbi Levine, there are pictures of Arab women going to get brachas from him. Right? Because they saw he was a man, he was compassionate to everybody. Somebody once asked him before the 67 war, she said, curse Nasser. You know, who was going to attack the Jewish people, the Egyptian leader. Egyptian, Syrian, Lebanese. Believe me, they're all the same to me. And then he's curse Nasser. So he said, I can't curse Nasser, but I'll bless your son that he should be successful. That he should come back alive, he should come back well, and he should win. So that I can bless. But to go around cursing, you know, we're not, that's generally not our way. We don't want to curse. It says in the Pasuk, Ki lo achbot b'mos hames, ki im b'shuvo midarko v'chaya. God doesn't want the dead person to die. He wants him to do tshuva. What's the lesson of Yom Kippur? What do we read? What's Haftarah? Yonah. Maftir Yonah. What's the story of Yonah? Bunch of goyish rishayim. Who cares? Some of them be destroyed. Who cares? God cares. So what does he do? He sends a prophet. Prophet's job is to say, guys, you got to do tshuva. God doesn't want to kill Nineveh. God doesn't want to kill anybody. God doesn't want to kill Nazis. God wants the Nazi to wake up in the morning and say, I'm a beast. I'm a beast. And he wants him to do tshuva. That's what God wants. Ki lo achbot b'mos hames. So, even though Anshei Sdom were roim v'chatoim, roim b'guvan v'chatoim imamonam. So, they were bad with their bodies and they were sinning with their money. Anshei Resha, Averos Kashim, they were men of evil. They did a lot of difficult Averos. When we call Makom Heti Ravur Maser Navshu Avuram. He does this whole back and forth with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shailo Rachamim Aleim. Avraham Avinu, you have to have Rachamim in everybody. We want all the Arabs to die? I don't want that. Why should I want Arabs to die? What is it going to do for me if Arabs are going to die? When I'm hungry, I eat human flesh. After they die, I can eat them. What is it going to do for me? If I want a meat meal, there are other ways I can get a meat meal. What do I want Arabs to die? What do I want the Arabs to do? I want the Arabs to wake up in the morning, and I want them to say, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, Umachuso Bako Mashallah, and do their job in this world. Be nice to me, and I'll be nice to you. And Shalom al Yisrael. I'm not going to look for a shidduch for my daughter with one of them. That's for sure. Yes? But, also most of them smoke, and I told my daughter she's not allowed to marry a smoker. But that's the last reason. There's 800 million reasons before that. But I don't want them to die. I just want them to do tshuva. That's all. Do tshuva. Be nice people. And I'll be nice to you. And that's all we want. We don't want anyone to die. Avraham Avinu prays for Sdom. I don't like all these militant people. They walk around, they're always ready. I want to kill them. I want to kill them. I want them to die. Them to die. Of course, the Pasuk says, David HaMelech, Erdovoy Voivasi game, V'lo Ashuvat Kolosam. I'll run after my enemies, and I'll catch up to them, and I won't come back until I destroy them. Of course, when you're in war, you don't have mercy. I once heard a story about a chayal. He told his Rebbe after there was one of the wars, whatever, he had his gun pointed at one of the enemy. And you know, you look in the eye thing or whatever, and you know that you have an exact shot. All you had to do was pull the trigger and the guy's dead. Right? And he said, I had Rachmanis and I didn't shoot. I just walked away. And he said, you did the wrong thing. There's no room for compassion. What happens to compassion? What happens in the end? What happened when Shaul HaMelech didn't kill Agag? What? Amalek. And Haman. And all the bad news that came from that. All the bad stuff. You can't have mercy. So it doesn't mean that we're pacifists. We're not, definitely not. You look through Tanakh, Judaism is not a pacifist religion. We have to wage war, but it's not because we want war. We want peace. The only thing is, if there has to be war, it says, first you sell them. We don't want to wage war, and you offer them, you know, you can stay, but you know, you can leave, or you can stay, and then you can act, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, and you'll pay tax, you'll be a good boy, and we'll let you stay. But we don't want to war, we don't want to kill. But when it comes, you know, when it comes to that they won't, you know, listen to us, and they do want to kill us, then you can't be compassionate. You know, there was the Rav Gusman, was a big tzaddik, a big Rosh Yeshiva, and he had a yeshiva here in Rechavia, Netzach Yisrael. So he used to sit, when he was about 19 years old, we're talking about child prodigies tonight. So when he was 19 years old, he sat in the Beis Din on the same court with Chaim Ozer Gudzinski. So he had a 19-year-old boy who was sitting as a judge on the same court with the Gadol HaDor in pre-war Europe. A tremendous Gadol, tremendous. So he was hiding in some haystack during the Holocaust. And the story goes, I think, I'm pretty sure he told it about himself, that one day a Nazi was walking by, and he came from behind him, and he was makayim the mitzvah of mechiyas amalek with his own two hands. He was a strong man, he did it. And to that we say, Kein yovdu kol oyvecha Hashem. When they go down, we're happy they go down. When they hang, after the, what do they call those trials? The Nuremberg trials, what do they call them? The Nazis with Eichmann and all those Yimach Shemams. So, we're very happy when that happens. But ideally, we wish they wouldn't have done what they did, and we shouldn't have to kill them. Now that they did what they did, then we have to, and we're happy to do it. But the ideal is a world of Rachmanis. We don't hang people, we don't kill people, we don't hurt people, and that includes human beings, it also includes animals. Originally, you weren't allowed to kill an animal. Why were you allowed to kill an animal? Because people were acting like animals. People were acting like animals. They said, oh, I'm an animal, you're an animal. So we're all the same. So you can act like, so now we kill animals, it's just, you're not an animal. You can eat an animal. So you're on a higher level. So after the Mabul, we were allowed to eat animals. But before, and there was no one there, we were vegetarian. And that's the ideal. The ideal, of course, is a famous essay. The ideal is not to eat animals. In this world, we need to do it. Because, that teaches us that lesson. Anyway, so that is Rachmanis. Lord Nisha Gankin Bistone Radiachon, Lord stayed in stone to the last second. I call him Lord Bishon, Roman Monarchy Kula Mashke. Why did Lord want money? Why did Lord want stone? Why did Lord choose stone? It rhymes with health and gelt. Gelt! He wanted money! Kikula Mashke! Money! They had fancy houses, they had mansions! Amar Avinu said to the king of Sodom, I don't want nothing. Remember last week's parasha? If you didn't read it, read it now. I don't want anything. I'm raising my hands. I don't want anything. Yadi Hani Rishusi, my domain. I don't want to have any shaykhus, any connection to Sodom. I don't want anything to do with them. I don't want their money. Like some people don't want to accept reparations from Germany. I don't want their money. It's blood stain. Some people say. Other people say you should take. But he had Rachmanis on them, and he argued, so he didn't want to have anything to do with them. But when it came, push came to shove, he still died for them. He saw there was a Metzia in stone. Who is it? Benos Lot. We know the daughters of Lot. A Metzia, something you find. It says the two daughters of Lot who were found in stone. The Svarim were always careful about the nuances in the pasuk. Shnei b'todecha nimtzaot, that they are found there. Miloshin mitzia, that mitzia is like a bargain, a real find. So the daughters of Lot were a real find. He's a medish. Matzasi David Avdi, I found David my servant. Heichan matzasi, where did I find David? Bistom. David came from stone, like we have in downtown Manhattan, the village. The village. Imagine if Mashiach starts in the village. You imagine that would be big, right? You think Mashiach is going to start in Bnei Brak? Imagine Mashiach starts in the most decadent society in Stone. V'yeshlomah rezid matzasi doshen mitzui. Matzasi can also mean mitzui, which means to take out all the potential. B'chol davar, like to squeeze out everything. L'matzot means like to squeeze out everything you have. B'chol davar yesh b'vaday mitzot's tov. Everything has a good spark. If something doesn't have a spark of God, it can't exist. Our Avinu took every last spark out of stone, out of Tipa Chon, until the last drop. You have to find everything in life. You have to get everything you can that's good out of it. Every person, you have to squeeze out every last bit of ruchnius you can get out of this person. Any situation you're in, get every last good out of the situation. Gam Ravino ksiv matzia, and Ravino himself it says matzia. Umatzas es levav onem al lefenach. I mean, Ravino also squeezed every last bit of potential out of himself, and we should all be zochet to find ourselves to be matzias, to squeeze everything good out of ourselves, and in that schus, we'll be zochet to live lives of simcha. 2, 4, 3.